Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at DReefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
Good morning, Mary Jo.
Good morning, Daniel.
Kate's by 25.
Yes, Kate's by 90.
Did not work out that way. I don't think I heard anyone all week say anything about UCLA possibly winning this game. It was Kentucky by how many? Close.
Right, and even if they both play great,
yeah,
Kentucky's that much better.
Right, and I said yesterday defense would be the difference, and it was.
It was.
Kentucky's poor defense.
It was, and all of the strengths that we talked about yesterday that UCLA had, they had.
They did.
I mean, they were very disciplined. They hit, if it was a shot maker's game, like Cal said, they hit shots. I mean, they kept hitting shot after shot. Every time Kentucky would try to cut into that lead, UCLA wasn't having it. They came right back with an answer every single time.
They did. And those big guys, TJ Leaf, the freshman, Thomas Welsh, the big 7-footer, together those guys were 12 for 19. From the field.
Yeah.
6 of 6 on free throws. They combined for 21 rebounds and 31 points. 5 assists even. I mean, those guys, it seemed like they didn't miss any shot.
Right.
Killed them. Calipari said TJ Leaf absolutely killed us.
And he did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Kentucky had 16 assists the whole game. And what had we talked about? You know, that they had just been sharing the ball so well. So what they had been doing well, they went away from once they got kind of punched in the mouth on that 11-2 run to start the second half and even the, you know, the last minute of the first half.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much you could say this is an excuse, and they're not saying it's an excuse, but they did say, Derek Willis did, that several players were sick. Derek himself said he was hugging the toilet Friday night and didn't sleep at all. And he said Dominique, Isaac Humphries, maybe Sasha Clea Jones, they were all feeling kind of bad. Sounded like all of those guys were sick. But and then Calipari didn't have a shoot around. Was it because he knew these guys were sick? Or but he said afterward, if he had to do it over again, he would have had a shoot around. I don't know how much that plays into it because they didn't have the energy, as Calipari said, but Fox Monk, bam.
They didn't have the sustained energy, but they did get up to, you know, what was it, 23-14,
mm-hmm.
You know, about midway through the second half, or first half, excuse me, and it looked like things were rolling.
Yeah.
I guess they just couldn't sustain it. I mean, I didn't think Derek Willis played terribly.
No, I thought he played okay. I thought he was a good matchup. His defense wasn't horrible. I mean, he got beat a few times, but played defense for the most part. But you know what I thought, and Calipari is saying the opposite. He's saying all defense, all defense, all defense. But I thought Derek could have taken more threes, and I thought Malik could have taken more shots. As it was, Malik Monk still took 19 shots. I think he could have had, you know, 30 shots, because he was the best option offensively.
Yes.
And there were lulls in the game where Kentucky needed some offense, and he just wasn't there for it. Like, why wait until you're down and desperate to allow Monk to start knocking down threes?
And that's what it was. They were, you know, desperation points.
And he did them.
You can't be the guy in the middle of an offense by the basket and shoot 30%.
Absolutely correct. And Cal alluded to that in his post game, how many they missed short. And they did. Kentucky missed a ton of baskets right up against the goal. Layups on transition buckets,
mm-hmm.
and then inside, bam. Good grief. How many did he miss?
He's 4 of 12.
4 of 12. And of those 8 misses, 7 were probably within 2 feet of the basket.
Yeah, one was that jumper from the elbow.
Right.
Other than that, they were all within 2 feet.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to make those.
You know, you got to make half of those. Yeah. I mean, you make half of those and it's, mm-hmm. I don't know. And I guess Wenyan Gabriel didn't do much for me yesterday.
Yeah, and that could have been, I think, one of the guys Calipari was alluding to when he says, no energy, some guys just didn't come ready to play, lack of defense, discipline on defense. I think that's part of it there as well. But they were leaving, they talked about it for 2 days, he said, of we're not going to let them beat us from the three. We're going to make them drive. Well, they hit 10 of 23.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they were crushing it from out there. I mean, but if you look at the numbers for Kentucky, they got 80 shots to UCLA's 66. They didn't shoot it horribly, 41%, but UCLA shot 53%.
I mean, they scored 92 points.
Yeah.
To me, though, there are two very disappointing things for me. One is that they lost at Rupp.
Yes.
And it had just been a long time since they had lost at Rupp, and that stinks.
42 games in a row, yeah. They had won there.
Yeah, you hate that. Mm-hmm. But all in all, like, I don't think this is a terrible loss. UCLA was a very good team. Kentucky's going to have to take its lumps a couple of times, you would think. Cal had alluded to how every practice was going so good, and, you know, they were doing everything they were supposed to. Now he's got some teaching, you know, mm-hmm. moments. But the second thing I was disappointed in, and this is absolutely no offense to him because he's certainly a legend, but I did not want to see Goose as the Y. I wanted to see someone from the football program be the Y.
Yeah. It was their day, partly their day. Yeah.
Goose has just done it a million times. It wasn't right. Like that was a, he had just come back for the first time in 10 years or anything like that. He's here all the time. And he's awesome, right? I mean, it's Goose, so yes. He's just part of the lore of Kentucky. So it's nothing against him. I would have loved to see Steven Johnson be able to do it.
That would have been nice, yeah.
Because they got a pretty nice ovation at halftime.
They did. I think when JoJo talked, but he was the only player that said anything right.
Yeah, I think so.
By the fight song. Steven was just being California cool over there. Yeah, would have been nice to see him do the Y. Yeah, you know, John Calipari, what he started off his career at Kentucky with, what, like 52, 53 home wins in a row? You know, set the Rupp Arena record for most consecutive wins. Second most is this one that just ended at 42.
Yeah.
So it's just his fifth loss at Rupp Arena in his eighth season. He is now 124-5.
I mean, that's still a staggering number.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also why you just absolutely freaking hate to lose at Rupp.
Mm-hmm. I looked at it before when that streak was going on. I did a package for TV and looked back at Billy Gillespie, Tubby Smith, Rick Pitino's records at Rupp Arena. And, I mean, Pitino was the only one that came anywhere close. Like, Gillespie lost 5 games in his first 10 at home. I mean,
right.
It didn't take long for him to.
He started out 0-1.
And then I see I think it's Derek Terry of Rivals tweeted out something from a message board where this guy says, I'm sick of a guy who only cares about getting his players to the NBA. It's time for Cal to go. We need somebody who really cares about the program and Kentucky basketball and understands it. And I am all for Brad Stevens.
Oh, jeez.
The NBA coach.
I hate people like that. And I don't think anyone... I think we should get rid of professors at universities who all they care about is getting them a job after what they come to school for. I mean, isn't that what you play college basketball for? Like, the hope is to get to the NBA. And what was what's the record at Rupp?
Under him?
Yeah.
124-5.
Yeah. Clearly he doesn't understand. Clearly he doesn't care.
Look, how many Final Fours would you go to had you hired Brad Stevens or whoever else. Calipari is the perfect guy for this job.
I understand
if you don't like the sole focus on NBA. But guess what? Look around.
I don't think that's the sole focus. He gets these guys. These guys keep coming back. They like Kentucky. They keep promoting Kentucky. They care about winning while they're here, most certainly, because that's how he gets them to that next spot. I think people always miss that he gets them to play for Kentucky so well that's how they get to that next level.
And also look around. Who's playing for Duke? Who helped UCLA win that game?
Yeah.
Lonzo Ball and TJ Leaf are freshmen. I mean, if you want to be in the conversation for a Final Four every single year, this is it. This is the way it's done. It's not done the way
it used to be done.
Rick Pitino is doing it now. It's not. I saw people, they were playing Grand Canyon last night and nearly lost that game. And I see people on there saying, he's got to put V.J. King in. He's got to play V.J. King more. He's got to play V.J. King is his stud freshman.
Yeah.
Who would be playing for any other, but Rick Pitino has a problem playing freshman. In this day and age, you can't have a problem playing freshman. So if you want to be in the conversation for a Final Four every 5 years, every 4 years, you want to be ranked 15 or 20, you're hanging around, but it's Duke, Kansas, North Carolina every year, and Kentucky's back here. You want to be that program? Really? Really?
No,
you don't. So you will accept that sometimes it's too much about the NBA for your liking, but that's just the way it is now.
If you take all of the people on planet Earth, every last one of them, and include them in the pool for who will be the next coach at Kentucky, it will be a disappointment. There is literally, in my mind, no one alive that can come in here and do and be what Cal is.
Tom Crean.
Except Tom Crean.
No, he understands it way too well.
It's just, he's it.
8 years ago, he was doing this. What Michigan State, Duke, UCLA, what they're doing to win now. They've caught up and gone, well, Calipari was 8 years ahead of it. And he's not made it so that they have to do it. What you have to understand is the kids, they want this. They're going to do it with or without you. So either you evolve or you almost get beat by Grand Canyon.
And you blow a 22-point lead to Baylor. Listen, I know. It's not...
Kick Louisville because Kentucky
or
lost.
You beat them in football. Obviously. And you beat down their Heisman Trophy candidate. Is that what you want? But, no, it's... We live in the moment so much. And it does stink to lose to UCLA at home. But I honestly, like, I thought I would be more upset. I'm just not.
Well, it's early a good team.
Yeah, it's a great team. It's early in the season. I know that Kentucky's still a great team.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Kentucky's still a great team.
And Cal has, it's been such a blueprint through his whole career here that, you know, except for the 38-0 team, they have taken their lumps. They've taken some losses. By the time it really matters, they're typically ready to go.
I think the big disappointment is how everyone felt after the Arizona State game. So many people felt, wow, this team is beyond special.
And now Cal was even kind of saying that.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about a 2012 team. We're talking about a 38-0 type team. I'm telling you, you know, they're going to dominate teams. They're not going to get upset. This game is at home against UCLA. The only question is how much do they win this game by? So there's that. So now maybe there's a little bit of shine off that. I mean, this team could still, looks like it has the makings to still turn around and not lose the rest of the season. It does look like it could still do that.
It will definitely roll through the SEC. Like, I still think they're undefeated in SEC play, probably. Maybe one loss. But, my goodness. Do you remember the pressure of that 38-0 team? Mm-hmm. I mean, every game you were living and dying on and just, you know, some of the close calls and they just hurt your stomach. It's out of the way. It's out of the way now. Like, we're not going to go four more games in and be like, okay, now we can start talking about, are we going to go roll through the season undefeated? It's over with. And I'm kind of glad.
I didn't really enjoy that 38-0
season. No, it hurts. Like, it gave me cramps, stomach cramps.
I can't even call it the 38-1 season. I keep saying 38-0 because they went 38-0 first. If you say 38-1, well, they could have been 37-0 and lost one. Or they could have been 16-0 and lost one and then won the rest of them. They were 38-0. So, yes, every game was like, oh, they're going to lose. Oh, they're going
to
lose.
When they were down 8 to Georgia late in the game, I thought, I mean, like, there was nothing worse than that.
So, Calipari would say, enjoy this. It doesn't come. You couldn't enjoy it. So, yes, I think it is easier to enjoy a team that's already got that loss out of the way. You're not worrying about that.
Get it done.
Even if they go on a big win streak here, it doesn't matter. You're not chasing 40-0 history. No. You still got one loss.
And I think Cal wants to do that so bad that he's going to stay here until he can do it. So I want to keep him here.
He's at least here until Brad graduates. All right, coming up on today's show, we have Mark Story at the bottom of the hour here in just about 10 minutes from the Lexington Herald Leader. He was at the game yesterday, had an art column about it, and today on Kentucky.com and Lexington Herald Leader. We'll talk to him. And then at 10 o'clock, Rick Catlett, the Tax Slayer Bowl president and CEO, is going to join us. And
Alabama
did what they did.
Did what they did.
Looks like it's going to be Kentucky, Georgia Tech. We'll see how far he goes to saying that's what it's going to be, but we'll find out a bunch from him, though. A lot. Because that's pretty much what it's going to be. It'll be announced later today, but I'm sure he will let us know in one way or the other without saying it exactly that way that it's probably Kentucky, Georgia Tech. You can bet on that. So we'll do that. Take your calls, 381-1313, when we come back on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Lace up your skates and hit the ice. The Unified Trust Company Ice Rink in Triangle Park is back for another season of downtown fun. The rink is open daily and skate rental is available. Ice skating is a fun and healthy activity for all ages, and the Unified Trust Company Ice Rink is the perfect spot for birthday parties, family bonding, and date night. What are you waiting for? Come join the fun. For more details, including hours of operation, visit downtownlex.com.
The following commercial contains a bunch of super secret information.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, the following commercial is all wink, wink, hush, hush.
Stick to the script.
At the Body Bay, we have things. So many things. You like tie-dyes? We got them. We got rolling papers, disc golf supplies, incense, E6, glassware, vapes and pipes, flow toys, and other things. Hey, 420 is a cool number, isn't it? The Body Bay, we're just like 420. We're the coolest place in town. We have staff. They are friendly. We have stuff, you know? You want to be cool, too? Shop here and you will be. The Body Bay. 420 East New Circle Road next to Pizza Hut in Lexington. We're the place to buy things to do stuff with.
Why is Seaview Outfitters as good as it is? The idea started with Steve and his boyhood trips to Alaska. The great outdoors, the lifestyle, and the clothing that helped people live it. That's what the Seaview is all about. The right clothing and gear for any outdoor pursuit. Brand names you know and love, and people whose passion for the outdoors will rival your own. West Main Street next to Tony's Steaks and Seafood, downtown Lexington. Online at SeaviewOutfitters.com. Seaview Outfitters. Carrying Patagonia, Arc'teryx, Yeti, and more.
When football is back and basketball is around the corner, why not make your game day experience an incredible dining experience as well? Come to Tony's Steaks and Seafood before or after the football game. Big screen TVs, fantastic service, wonderful atmosphere, and the best food anywhere. And during basketball at Rupp, you'll see a sign that says, "You're a minute away from the best steak you've ever had." Tony's, on Main Street, across from Triangle Park. Visit TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. But when we introduce a new stimulus, save the food. We're helping to stop food waste. Save the food. For tips and recipes, visit SaveTheFood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.
ESPN Sports Radio. The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Well, we kind of talked about the things we saw as reasons why Kentucky lost 97-92 to UCLA at Rupp Arena. But why don't we hear it from the man himself, John Calipari, and he says everything right here, all of it, of why they lost is contained within this soundbite right here.
You know, this is a lesson for us, you know, and we didn't have the energy. I had to call a timeout a minute into the game. I mean, it wasn't the same team. How about this one? We had 16 assists. Why didn't we pass it today? Because it was national television. It's my time. Well, we all look bad. So, you know, there are great lessons out of this. I wish we'd have come back and won. I would have liked to have learned from that lesson a little bit more. But sometimes you need to get hit on the chin, especially at home. And they, you know, Steve and the staff, they were ready. You know, we missed a lot of layup, one-footer stuff. But it all comes back to the same thing. We didn't have discipline defensively. We just didn't. We fouled on drives instead of giving them space. Now all of a sudden you've put them to the foul line when, you know, they were having a tough time scoring. But I got to give credit to them to come into this building. Now it's 12:30. It's 9:30 their time. To come in and do what they did to us, and they manhandled us. They physically manhandled us. And you don't see that very often, and especially in this building.
There you go.
That's it. I agree with all of that.
Mm-hmm. So now Valparaiso comes in on Wednesday, and Valpo has a guy who probably is going to go in the first round of the NBA draft, a big man. I think they'll be okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And then after that, it becomes Camp Cal. I think they're out of school.
That's right.
So it's kind of a good time to take a loss because he's got their attention, and he's going to have their attention. And Malik Monk said, you know what? We didn't pay attention to what he said. We weren't listening. We should have. We played selfish. We did stuff we never do.
But that's what Cal's saying.
You never know.
Need to do that to get their attention. Like, that needs to happen sometimes.
Yeah. Said maybe we underestimated UCLA. Derek Willis said, wouldn't say that we underestimated them necessarily. It was, we got comfortable. We got complacent. We were like, okay, we're not overconfident, but all right, we're fine. You know, everything's good. We've kind of arrived here. We're cool. And then this happens. But yes, you need something.
You know what? Cal said it several times in the postgame too, and I think it bears repeating. Give credit to UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
They played a whale of a game.
Yeah.
They've got good players. They mm-hmm. figured out how to play Kentucky. They ran with them. They played well. Kentucky scored 92 points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't. We can talk about offensive woes, but they scored 92 points.
No one has scored 97 points against John Calipari at Kentucky until yesterday. That's the first time it's ever happened.
Yeah. They played great. And I think they're a really good team. They are a top 10 team, legitimately.
And they shot 53%. Wichita State in that 2014 tournament was the last team to shoot it that well against Kentucky. So, yeah, there's some things there that UCLA did that just isn't done very often. So, yeah, UCLA is right now in everybody's minds, college basketball national writers, see a team that's a Final Four contender.
They look like it.
Yeah.
And I will be anxious to see what Duke looks like when all their guys get on the court.
I think a couple guys did get on the court yesterday.
And Giles, did they both play?
I think so. Two of them did. I can't remember which two, but two of the three that were injured did. And they beat Maine or somebody. Well, then Wednesday, they play Florida. That's a 9 o'clock game, Jimmy V Classic, Florida and Duke. I don't know that Florida gives them much of a game, but those guys will be going up against higher-level talent than Maine.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you got to figure Duke in there. UCLA, Kentucky's going to be there in the end for sure. Kansas, North Carolina. Those are your best teams right now. Villanova.
Yeah, I still think they're a good team.
Yeah.
They have a lot back from the national championship team.
Mm-hmm. They do. All right, we got Mark's story from the Lexington Herald Leader coming up next here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show. And then in a half an hour, 10 o'clock, football talk with the Tax Slayer Bowl's president and CEO, Rick Catlett. So we'll get a ton of information about that. Of course, we'll also talk about high school football state championships. Lafayette did not win it. It was Trinity that won it last night. There's three games today. We'll talk a little bit about that. And then the UK women's hoops team plays at number 7 Louisville later today.
Today?
Yeah. Let's talk about that as well. Here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Would you rather be racing down a trail instead of racing to the next thing on your schedule? Then it's time to ride away from boredom at MLS Power Sports during the Arctic Cat Ride Away Day sales event. Get amazing deals with financing as low as 0% on new ATVs and side-by-sides and rebates up to $3,000. Visit MLS Power Sports, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown to ride away with a great deal. Arctic Cat, share our passion. Offer subject to change, not all applicants will qualify. See dealer for details and program dates. Always wear a helmet and don't drink and ride.
But most of all, ride victoriously.
HelpWantedLexington.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, what does collate mean?
Oh, hey, Dave. I think it means to flush.
Oh, thanks, Dave. Well, better start collating the boss's sales pitch.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. HelpWantedLexington.com. Local jobs that work.
Dave is a common name used in a comical way. Please don't write us to tell us you were insulted by this ad. That would be a real Dave move, Dave.
Be sure to catch the latest traffic impact and cycling reports brought to you by Republic Bank. It's just easier here.
Lace up your skates and hit the ice. The Unified Trust Company Ice Rink in Triangle Park is back for another season of downtown fun. The rink is open daily and skate rental is available. Ice skating is a fun and healthy activity for all ages, and the Unified Trust Company Ice Rink is the perfect spot for birthday parties, family bonding, and date night. What are you waiting for? Come join the fun. For more details, including hours of operation, visit downtownlex.com.
The following commercial contains a bunch of super secret information.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, the following commercial is all wink, wink, hush, hush.
Check to the script.
At the Body Bay, we have things. So many things. You like tie-dyes? We got them. We got rolling papers, disc golf supplies, incense, e-cigs, glassware, vapes and pipes, flow toys, and other things. Hey, 420 is a cool number, isn't it? The Body Bay, we're just like 420. We're the coolest place in town. We have staff. They are friendly. We have stuff, you know? You want to be cool, too? Shop here and you will be. The Body Bay. 420! East New Circle Road next to Pizza Hut in Lexington. We're the place to buy things to do stuff with.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The Dan and Mary Joe Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Joe on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Joining us now on the telephone is the Lexington Herald Leader's Mark Story. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Morning, guys. How we doing?
Wonderful, Mark. I think you and I share, and Dan too, to an extent here, as we've talked, share kind of the same outlook on this game, which was, it's probably not that big of a deal. Might end up being a good thing down the road.
Yeah, I think if Kentucky learns the right lessons, they will benefit from what happened yesterday. I think, because they had looked so good and, just they were overwhelming undermatched teams athletically, kind of the hype machine was really revving up. And it's probably to the benefit, the long-term benefit of the season that the hype machine has been shut down, at least for a while, and that they can sort of get back in and be coachable and improve in some areas. And they have some areas they need to improve in. I think we saw that yesterday clearly.
Yeah, John Calipari said they manhandled us. So another thing I noticed that could be an issue for them is if Bam Adebayo is not a better percentage shooter in the post.
Yeah, that's a concern. And Calipari mentioned, I don't know that Kentucky will play many power forwards as good as T.J. Leaf was, who I thought was the best player in the game yesterday.
Yeah.
But they just could not defend him at all, and I worry a little bit about that just because the guys that are manning that position are long and lean types and, just in terms of, bigger guys sort of pushing them around. So there are several things that came out of that game yesterday that, they need to work on. But, it's so early, and they clearly have a lot of talent. And as I said, I think the fact that, they've sort of learned that, they're not just going to be able to overwhelm everybody, and, they'll be receptive to coaching and probably grow a lot from this.
Yeah, they got away from a lot of it's hard to say there were offensive struggles when you score 92 points. That just doesn't jive so much. But there were some offensive things that they got away from, including sharing the ball. And it was even more apparent yesterday when you watched how well I felt like UCLA moved the ball. I mean, they moved the ball with such fluidity and found the open guy. It was a pretty thing to watch if you didn't have a dog in the fight.
Well, from what I've read, UCLA has sort of tried to model its playing style this year on the Golden State Warriors, and there were some similarities. And one of the advantages UCLA has, I thought their freshmen were better yesterday than Kentucky's freshmen, but I also think UCLA's freshmen have a whole lot more veteran help than Kentucky's freshmen have. And you have two very experienced guards, and Isaac Hamilton and Bryce Offord playing with Lonzo Ball, and I think that matters. And I think you're right, Mary Jo, they were fun to watch. That's a good team. I was talking with my former colleague Chip Cosby last night, and he made what I thought was a pretty good point. Baylor and UCLA might be the two best teams in the country right now. That's kind of hard. Nobody, I think, was thinking that when the season started.
No. Another thing that I think Kentucky learned is that what they thought was their best way to play, fast, up and down, may not always be the best way to play. And John Calipari kind of alluded to it that maybe they need to learn how to play big with Isaac Humphries, Wynyan Gabriel, Derek Willis, Bam Adebayo, those bodies inside, more of that and less of three guards possibly.
Probably my biggest surprise. I didn't think you could beat Kentucky playing fast. And turns out you could. It'll be interesting to see if he does try to slow him down, just because, defensively, sometimes if you play well defensively, you wind up slowing the pace down just because the other team, it takes them longer to get shots. So it'll be interesting to see if he does try to slow him down a little bit, or if he decides that in doing that you would be giving up one of your best advantages. So, that will be an interesting coaching decision.
So it's not, it's what, 2 weeks till Kentucky plays Louisville, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
That
could be a fist
fight. When you look down the road, because Louisville has had its struggles, even with teams
as
like,
recently as last night
as
Grand
recently
Canyon.
As last night. How do you see that game shaping up?
I think it's really interesting. I think the question with Louisville, they've not been very good offensively. They've really struggled. Their outside shooting has not been very good. But they do have two things, I think, that are make them a big threat. They have a lot of length. They're really long. I mean, their wings are long. And, Ray Spalding coming off the bench is a really long, athletic player. And they just have a lot of size. And, I would expect Rick Pitino's strategy will be to gum that game up and muck it up and try to make it a defensive half-court strategy or struggle. And, Kentucky really hasn't been in that kind of game. So at least against the team, you know, capable of beating them. And then it'll be, you know, a true road game. And while there are always a lot of Kentucky fans, to the chagrin of Rick Pitino in the Yum Center, that will still be a wild atmosphere. I think that's a game that is probably more of a toss-up than a lot of UK fans want to see it.
Well, there's a Kentucky-Louisville game today at 2 o'clock in that same building, the Yum Center. And, one, I would like to get your impressions on that matchup. Louisville's lost two in a row, and Jeff Walls had his great rant the other night about participation trophies and how we're preparing our kids. And they've lost two in a row. Kentucky has looked good, beating Oklahoma, playing a different way because of their depth. And then this game is not on TV for, I think, the second year in a row.
Yeah, that's a little bit surprising. It used to be, you know, it seemed like it would be on TV when it was in Lexington, and be like on the UK network before the SEC network came online.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was, and maybe it hasn't been on TV as much when it's been in Louisville. That's my recollection. But
well, today it's on the ACC Network Extra, which is like the SEC Network
right.
Plus. So
right, it is disappointing. Just, you know, this is the marquee women's college basketball game for our state, and you would like for as many people to get to see it as possible. You know, just to continue to grow the popularity of the game. I think Well, this, too, is an interesting matchup. Kentucky's beaten Louisville 5 years in a row and 6 out of 7. And in 3 of those 5 years in a row, Kentucky has overcome double-digit deficits to win the game. So, you know, this Kentucky, because, as you mentioned, they have such a reduced depth, not much of a bench, you know, do they still have the capacity to wear a team down like that? And with Louisville, I expect them to be desperate. I mean, they've lost two in a row. I mean, they have to be sick of this five-game losing streak.
Yeah.
So I expect them to just, you know, be on a holy war today.
All right, I got to switch sports with you real quick because we haven't talked to you since Kentucky beat Louisville in football. And today we find out where Kentucky will go bowling. And by all accounts, it looks like it'll be New Year's Eve in Jacksonville against Georgia Tech. What your impressions on how this season turned around and ended up, and where they kind of go from here?
Well, I thought it was really impressive that, you know, to go from where they were when they were 0-2, and you know, they had blown a big lead and lost a game they should have won in the opener. They basically no-showed Florida at Florida. And then you had all the negativity and all the speculation about, you know, coaching changes and all that. And for them to be able to, you know, to sort of circle the wagons and dig in, and then from that point on go 7-3, and, you know, end the season, you know, with a humongous win at Louisville, I mean, I think it's a really impressive achievement. It's an impressive achievement for the players, and it was an impressive coaching achievement.
And Kentucky has beaten a bowl-eligible Vanderbilt, a bowl team in South Carolina. And yesterday they added another one. Mississippi State's going bowling now.
This is probably not a very nice thing to say, but the biggest sports upset of the year. I would have never thought Mississippi State would get into a bowl on APR.
Well, continuing along football, want to get your thoughts on something else. Western Kentucky University won its second straight Conference USA championship. Jeff Brohm was a hot commodity after he won it last year. He's an even hotter commodity now. Dan Dockich coming out this week and saying he's going to Purdue, and he expects to hear that there'll be a press conference on Monday. That's been denied, or at least I saw WDRB had a source that said that's 100% not true. And then Jody Demling put out there that source tells him that Jeff Brohm will interview with Baylor. Do you see him not being back at WKU next year?
Well, it sounds like he's far more willing to listen and participate in the process, at least looking at other jobs, than he was last year when he just didn't really seem to engage at all. You know, Jeff Brohm is a state of Kentucky guy. I mean, I think he's most comfortable here. I think he likes being in the state. You know, that being said, you sort of reach a point in your career that if you're going to make a move, you kind of have to strike while the opportunity's there. And I think Jeff's at that point. I do think, and you know, just what I know of the situation. I do think he's not 100% just, you know, I'm leaving. I think he's going to look, and if he finds a situation he thinks is good where he can win, then he may well do it. But I don't think it's 100% impossible he does stay at WKU.
And former WKU coach Willie Taggart's interviewing with Oregon.
Mm. Yeah, he's done a good job. He did a good job at Western. He's done a good job at South Florida, and he's got the tie to the Harbaugh coaching tree, so I would expect he will land a Power 5 job, if not now, soon, if he wants it.
Brohm sounds like a nice fit to Oregon, the kind of offense he runs. And he has 2 years in a row of having success with it versus, you know.
You know, Big 12 football, too, if he goes to Baylor.
Right.
The most
right.
impressive thing to me about what Jeff did this year was, you know, he did it with a different quarterback. And mm-hmm. He inherited Brandon Dowdy when he took over the job, and, you know, Brandon Dowdy played at a high level. But this year, Mike White, who had been the starting quarterback at South Florida and been like a 50% passer, and you see what Jeff Brohm did with him and how well he played, you know, I think that, you know, stamped him as legit, you know, far, you know, if it wasn't already, I think it was a really important thing for him to show that he could succeed with the second quarterback.
I have one more question for Mark Story from the Lexington Herald Leader joining us here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. If Mary Jo, if you have another one, feel free to throw it in there. But mine would be, and I'm not sure how closely you follow this, but I definitely know you're aware of it, especially that since you produce the candidates for Sportsman of the Year. Mr. Football, there are two clear-cut candidates to me. One is UK commit, quarterback of Lafayette High School, Walker Wood, whose team lost last night in the 6A state championship game, runners-up for the second straight year in a row. And then Jake Johnson, who rewrote the record books for receiving yards, catches, at Pulaski County, which is playing today in its fourth consecutive state championship game, and they've won one of those 2 years ago. So, who you got?
Well, you know, that's hard for me to answer. I've seen Walker Wood play several times. I have not seen the kid from Pulaski County, although I have followed his receiving record. I think either one are deserving. I mean, I think that's probably a cop-out. You know, I don't know that you can go wrong either way. It'll be interesting to see. You know, Pulaski County has, you know, as you alluded to, has been on a kind of a four-year run of success. Do you reward that, or do you reward, you know, Walker Wood because he played 6A football, the highest level, and, you know, played against some really good foes? I mean, I think it's an interesting choice, and I would agree that those are probably the top two candidates, but I think it's a good choice either way it goes.
Is Mr. Football a four-year award, is it a one-year award?
Well, I think it is. I think you look at the overall career. I think you can win it off one outstanding year, but I think you. I don't vote, but if I did, I would consider full careers in the vote.
Yeah, I agree there. Anything, Mary Jo?
Nope. I think I'm good.
All right. Well, Mark, that was good. Thank you very much. We always appreciate you taking time to join us, and always fun talking to you. And I look forward to seeing the Sportsman of the Year candidates come out and getting a chance to vote on that again.
Well, I appreciate it, guys, and we'll have them out soon.
I assume you're compiling the list right now, right?
We are.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Mark.
Y'all have a good day.
You too.
For having me on.
You too. Mark Story from the Lexington Herald Leader there, and love talking to him because you can cover all those topics that we went through. Yeah. And then now in 15 minutes.
And we don't even talk to him about his two favorites, which are the NBA and NASCAR.
Right.
We never ask him about those things, but we need to.
Yeah, we should. It's just it didn't hit it at the right time. Yeah. All right, in 15 minutes, we're going to talk to the Tax Slayer Bowl president and CEO, Rick Catlett, and definitely talk about that game. Kentucky's going. It's going to happen, so we're just going to. So we'll get into a bunch of stuff. What you can do down there, not just, you know, the teams that are going to be playing in it, but since you know it's going to be Kentucky, just the kind of situation you're looking at in Jacksonville. What kind of place it is, what kind of stuff's available to you, and what kind of time you can have. See, I've even thought about trying to convince my wife.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go down there for New Year's Eve, because you could go down on Thursday or Friday.
Yeah.
The game is
perfect.
Saturday morning at 11 a.m. you hang out New Year's Eve in Jacksonville, you come home on Sunday, and you're not going to work on Monday.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad deal. We'll take your calls, too, 381-1313, here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Wait for them to ask you
who you know. The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Would you rather be racing down a trail instead of racing to the next thing on your schedule? Then it's time to ride away from boredom at MLS Power Sports during the Arctic Cat Ride Away Day sales event. Get amazing deals with financing as low as 0% on new ATVs and side-by-sides and rebates up to $3,000. Visit MLS Power Sports, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown to ride away with a great deal. Arctic Cat, share our passion. Offer subject to change, not all applicants will qualify. See dealer for details and program dates. Always wear a helmet and don't drink and ride.
Ride rough, ride tough, MLS Power Sports, got the ride you're looking for.
But most of all, ride victoriously.
When football is back and basketball is around the corner, why not make your game day experience an incredible dining experience as well? Come to Tony's Steaks and Seafood before or after the football game. Big screen TVs, fantastic service, wonderful atmosphere, and the best food anywhere. And during basketball at Rupp, you'll see a sign that says, "You're a minute away from the best steak you've ever had." Tony's, on Main Street, across from Triangle Park. Visit TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
How's everything taste tonight, folks?
Oh, it's excellent.
Where was it raised?
As a chef, it's important to know where your food comes from. That's why we buy local and Kentucky-raised food.
My boys are the 10th generation to farm in Kentucky.
We take a lot of pride knowing that what I set on the table is a good product.
And we're proud of the products that we produce. You're getting an excellent quality product.
We believe in what we produce. We feed it to our own family, and we're happy to share it with your family. Kentucky Farm Families.
Feeding Kentucky. Feeding the world.
Sponsored by the Kentucky Agricultural Development Fund.
Shouldn't you have a checking account that makes your life easier? Introducing Easy Checking from Republic Bank. Relax with no minimum balance or monthly maintenance fees. Easily send money through our app with Mobile Pop Money. Log into your account by scanning your finger or eye with your smartphone. And for easy access to your money, you can use 85,000 surcharge-free ATMs worldwide. Easy checking for your hard-earned money. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
High school football's final weekend. State championships going on in Bowling Green. It started Friday night, and it was Beachwood. The rich keep getting richer. Last night it was Trinity. The rich keep getting richer. And it was Belfry. The rich keep getting richer. Yeah. All those teams winning state championships. And for Beachwood, it was number 12. For Belfry, it was number 6. And for Trinity, it was number 24, which is now the record. It was Trinity and Highlands tied for with 23 overall. And now Trinity stands alone with 24 state championships. Belfry destroyed Louisville Central. And for Belfry, it is their fourth consecutive state championship, sixth overall. And Coach Philip Haywood, who is the winningest coach in state history already, was asked after the game how many more years you got left. And he said, "I've always said I've got another one in me."
So he does.
Look for Belfry to win another state championship. No, they lose a lot off that offensive line. They've got a UK commit, a Louisville commit, an EKU commit. And another kid is being recruited by D1 on that offensive line, and it shows. I think the stat I saw was in their six state championships combined, They have rushed the ball for 2,400-something yards and 14 yards passing in six state championship games.
They've got themselves a little blueprint there, Dan.
Yeah.
Hey, can we... I just want to mention something that I just see on Twitter now, and it's totally off topic, but I find it hilarious. Jeff Fisher, the coach of the Rams, just signed an extension.
What?
They just gave him an extension. He must have pictures of somebody doing something.
Eric Dickerson. Right. So he has pictures of him.
you've got Rams legends saying, we're not even going to come to the game as long as Jeff Fisher's the head coach. He is Mr. Mediocrity every year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been this thing like the last week about Eric Dickerson and Jeff Fisher and this battle with, you know, inside the Rams organization. And 15 minutes ago, I think sources reporting that he has in fact signed a contract extension. I just think that's hilarious.
Well, they said they were basically going to give him a mulligan because of the move. That you just couldn't understand how difficult the move was. And so this is a free year for Fisher. We're not going to hold him accountable or decide his future based on this season.
But what about the previous seasons that were exactly like this season?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It does That's have, funny. You know, the number. Did you have the Jared Goff at quarterback who's playing? He's making his first start today against the Patriots. Fisher clearly didn't want to throw him into the fire. And so he waited and waited until the pressure was so great that it was play him or risk losing your job. And now his first starts against the Patriots of all the teams to throw a quarterback into the fire. The Patriots.
Well, there's no Gronk. Gronk is out for the rest of the season.
Doesn't matter.
I know it doesn't matter.
Belichick is going to find a way to pick off Jared Goff like eight times today. And then with Eric Dickerson, I get that Jeff Fisher is like, look, we just made this move. We need everybody on board. This is not a good time to be picking me apart and destroying me and trying to tear our team down. So stop it. And Eric's like, you know what Jeff told me? He told me to shut my mouth. I ain't coming over there anymore. So I get it as a head coach that you want to have that conversation. Then he run tells. And you're like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't talk to him.
I just found it funny that to just see that. Also, because in a couple minutes here, we're going to have on the president and CEO of the Tax Slayer Bowl, which is awesome. So everything is decided now. I mean, the games have all been played.
Mm-hmm.
Penn State makes the largest comeback in a Big Ten championship game ever, right? That game is over with in the second quarter, 28-7. They come back and win, but Washington manhandles Colorado.
Yeah.
Clemson hangs on. It was a close game. They didn't blow out Virginia Tech, but they win. So do you think they keep the same four that were last week top four? And that's just...
Yeah,
that's who's in. Yeah, I do too.
I saw some arguments, and I got into some Twitter. I wouldn't say arguments, just debate. And really, I was more than anything just kind of playing devil's advocate to see what your defense would be of this. But when you say that you're a team that has won 9 games in a row and you won the Big Ten championship, the toughest conference in college football this year, and you beat Ohio State, handing them their only loss, and you're not one of the top four teams. You're screaming, that's baloney. But the argument keeps coming back to, well, they got 2 losses. Well, so is Washington a good enough 1-loss team?
No, I if I'm Penn State, I mean, this is the year where I do think they're going to expand to 8 teams because of stuff like this. Because it's hard as a committee to say last week, these are the top 4 teams, and all 4 of those teams, well, Ohio State didn't play. But it's also hard to keep Ohio State out because they've beaten 2 top 10 teams on the road. Their only loss is on a special teams play at the end of the game to Penn State, who's the champion. So it's hard to keep them out. But how do you tell Washington, you're 4 today, you go and win the Pac-12 championship by 31 points. How do you tell them, now you're not 4 anymore?
Yeah,
how do you keep them out?
I don't know how you do it either, but I still don't like eight. I know you made a case for it yesterday on the show.
Bob Stoops from Oklahoma yesterday on the radio absolutely said he does not want eight.
And he would benefit if they had eight this year. He would be in.
Yes, but he does not want. He said, my kids have finals. It's another game. These guys can't play that many games. Yeah.
Well, we'll definitely have more college football talk. Yeah. And specifically about the bowl formerly known as the Gator, the Tax Slayer Bowl, with the president and CEO of that bowl, Rick Catlett. Next on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Bengals football, presented by Paul Miller Ford, 975 East New Circle Road, and also brought to you by MLS Power Sports, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown, the Magic Vapor Shop, with three Bluegrass area locations, the Boot Store, just south of Man O' War on Nicholasville Road, Truck and Auto Extras, 1098 East New Circle Road, Banks Floor Covering, 1117 Winchester Road, Barkley Blevins Plumbing Heating and Air, 939 Winchester Road, Danville Foreign Cars and Recreation, 1227 Lebanon Road, in Danville, and Line X of Kentucky, 119 Howard Street in Nicholasville. Bengals football on Classic Rock 92.1.
ESPN, Sports Radio 1300, WLHG Lexington, and LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
He's building a weapon capable of destroying an entire planet. We have to capture the plans if there's any hope of destroying it.
The most powerful weapon.
Nothing will stand in the way of the Empire.
Is hope.
This is our chance to make a real difference.
Make 10 men feel like 100.
May the Force be with us.
Rogue One, a Star Wars story. Rated PG-13, may be inappropriate for children under 13. In theaters December 16th.
The NFL on ESPN Radio.
I'm ESPN NFL Nation Colts reporter Mike Wells. The Colts will have quarterback Andrew Luck back for their game against the Jets after he missed a previous game with a concussion. But Indianapolis is dealing with injuries to T.Y. Hilton and Vontae Davis. They trailed Houston by a game in the AFC South, and Dwayne Allen believes they need to win their final five games to ensure they win the division and get a playoff spot.
This NFL Nation Report is brought to you by Exxon, the NFL on ESPN Radio.
The Jimmy V Classic on ESPN. Live from Madison Square Garden. Purdue battles Arizona State. Then Florida takes on the Blue Devils. In the annual celebration for legendary coach Jim Belvano. The Jimmy V Classic presented by Corona. Purdue takes on Arizona State at 7 Eastern. Then Florida faces Duke at 9 Eastern. Tuesday on ESPN.
Rodgers and the Packers face DeAndre Hopkins and the Houston Texans. Then in the Steel City, Odell Beckham Jr. and the Giants face Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers. Coverage begins today at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio. The NBA on ESPN Radio.
James drive, puts it up with an emphatic right hand. Out to Curry and another three's up and in.
Now available on the ESPN app.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, WLHG Lexington, and LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm John Ryder. The Rams have signed head coach Jeff Fisher to a two-year contract extension, as first reported by the NFL Network, confirmed by ESPN. Rams visit the Patriots today. New England will have Tom Brady, Julian Edelman, and Martellus Bennett, reports ESPN's Adam Schefter. All three were listed as questionable. L.A. receiver Tavon Austin is out with a chest injury. Eagles are expected to go after receiver DeSean Jackson in the offseason, sources tell Adam Schefter, with the Redskins not likely to tag Jackson. Eagles visit Cincinnati today, and receiver Jordan Matthews is not expected to play with an ankle injury. Fellow wideout Nelson Aguilar is expected to be active. Conference championship Saturday, and Heisman hopeful Deshaun Watson with three passing touchdowns, two rushing. Number 3 Clemson gets past number 23 Virginia Tech, 42-35, the final in Orlando. Clemson back-to-back ACC champs. Third straight SEC championship for Alabama. Top rank tied. Blowout 15th-ranked Florida, 54-16. Alabama with a pick six. Blocked punt, returned it for his score. ESPN's Brad Edwards.
To me, the top teams easily are Alabama and Clemson. I think Clemson is the only team in this playoff that has a chance to beat Alabama. In fact, I think Clemson has a really good chance to beat Alabama.
And we will find out where Alabama and Clemson land with the College Football Playoff Selection Day show on ESPN and ESPN Radio today at noon Eastern. Will Penn State be one of the four playoff teams? They're outright Big Ten champs for the first time in 22 years. They rally from 21 down in the first half. Seventh-ranked Nittany Lions with a 38-31 victory over number 6 Wisconsin.
Clemson, Penn State, and Alabama all won conference championships on Saturday. Paul Feinbaum, Kirk Herbstreit, and Urban Meyer join to preview the college football playoff Monday on Mike and Mike, 6 Eastern, on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Would you rather be racing down a trail instead of racing to the next thing on your schedule? Then it's time to ride away from boredom at MLS Power Sports during the Arctic Cat Ride Away Day sales event. Get amazing deals with financing as low as 0% on new ATVs and side-by-sides and rebates up to $3,000. Visit MLS Power Sports, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown, to ride away with a great deal. Arctic Cat, share our passion. Offer subject to change, not all applicants will qualify. See dealer for details and program dates. Always wear a helmet and don't drink and ride.
Ride rough, ride tough, MLS Power Sports, got the ride you're looking for.
But most of all, ride victoriously.
Why is Seaview Outfitters as good as it is? The idea started with Steve and his boyhood trips to Alaska. The great outdoors, the lifestyle, and the clothing that helped people live it. That's what the Seaview is all about. The right clothing and gear for any outdoor pursuit. Brand names you know and love, and people whose passion for the outdoors will rival your own. West Main Street next to Tony's Steaks and Seafood, downtown Lexington. Online at SeaviewOutfitters.com. Seaview Outfitters, carrying Patagonia, Arc'teryx, Yeti, and more.
When football is back and basketball is around the corner, why not make your game day experience an incredible dining experience as well? Come to Tony's Steaks and Seafood before or after the football game. Big screen TVs, fantastic service, wonderful atmosphere, and the best food anywhere. And during basketball at Rupp, you'll see a sign that says you're a minute away from the best steak you've ever had. Tony's on Main Street across from Triangle Park. Visit TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Joe Perino.
Well, that huge win over Louisville for Kentucky Thanksgiving weekend changed what would have been likely Birmingham or Shreveport to now it looks very likely that it will be Jacksonville and the Taxslayer Bowl, which would be one of the best bowls that Kentucky has ever gone to. It's been to the Outback Bowl before, it's been to the Peach Bowl, been to the Cotton Bowl way long time ago. But most recently, it's been Music City, Liberty, BBVA, Compass Bowl. Those have been where Kentucky has landed. And this one here, it's a nice one.
This is a dandy.
It's the day before New Year's Day, and it's in Florida. So that would be excellent. And we have heard this week and read this week the comments of the Taxslayer Bowl president and CEO, Rick Catlett. And all indications from him are, we like Kentucky. That's who we want in this bowl game. And out of the ACC, we like Georgia Tech and Miami. And all of our speculations have led us to eliminating Miami from that equation. And so it's Kentucky and Georgia Tech. And here to talk about it is Taxslayer Bowl President and CEO Rick Catlett. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, God, no problem, guys. I'm on an airplane getting ready to head back to Jacksonville to await the call from the conference offices to confirm our number one pick, and obviously the AD's number one picks, and hopefully everything will work out. We'll have a great New Year's Eve Saturday in Jacksonville, Florida.
What is it that you guys like so much about Kentucky? And I know that's their late season push, but I'm sure you're also aware that the fans travel pretty well.
Well, I've got to tell you, I had the great opportunity to go to Kentucky for a football game in November 1983, and I walked into the stadium expecting – actually, I drove into Lexington, and they were having a little thing called Midnight Madness.
yeah, practice. Little
were,
thing.
There was a little traffic jam in the town as we were driving through about 11:30. But the next morning I showed up, and the stadium was full. I think at that point Kentucky had only won a couple of games. They were playing Florida, and Florida was playing for an SEC championship and played outstanding football and almost won the game. But the thing that impressed me the most is the fans and how they stayed for the whole game. You know, if your team is won two or three games, that doesn't happen in too many places in America. And to see the pride and the excitement that the Kentucky fans had, now you flip the switch to fast forward to this year. The job that Coach Stoops has done is absolutely incredible. And you know, every game you played, you were competitive. Every game you were in. And then, of course, you really want to reward teams for having a good year. But then when you see the fan support, when you look at some of the other bowl games they've gone to, I had an opportunity to talk to Kevin Bay, who runs the Outback Bowl. He said you'll never see a fan base that travels and attends bowl games like Kentucky fans. So if you add all that up, it makes it pretty simple to who we're going to put number one on our list. But there's a process that we have to go through, and that process will take probably in to about 4 o'clock this afternoon by the time we get it all complete. And hopefully we're talking about Kentucky coming, and we'll just see how it works out today.
So you think about 4 o'clock, an official announcement somewhere around there?
Yeah, the way it works is the committee's working right now, and they'll come out about 11 with their top four. Then they'll rank the programs after that, one through whatever it takes to get all the available teams put in the right position. And then we'll start selecting, and the conferences will start calling. They'll first go to the Citrus Bowl, who picks first after the CFP, and then they'll call us. And they'll just go one by one. What do you want? And if you and the AD agree and the conference is okay with that, then we get it done. Everything's done probably by 4 o'clock today, and we'll have press releases going out. And then tonight at 6 p.m., the media is invited to call in, and we will have both athletic directors and both head coaches of the two teams we select on the conference call.
Wonderful. Now, if Kentucky is headed to the Tax Slayer Bowl indeed, What are some of the things around Jacksonville that UK fans might be able to partake in?
Well, you know, for 25 years we were on New Year's Day, and when we decided to move off of New Year's Day, ESPN was great working with us. And so we're going to be on a Saturday, which is December 31st. Most fans, we think, will come in. Maybe some will come in on Thursday, but most come in on Friday. We have the Hall of Fame induction ceremony and luncheon at noon, which will be open to the public. There is a fee that has to be paid. And then we will move from there with pep rallies and what we call Jacksonville Landing, which is down in on the riverfront in Jacksonville. And then that night we have our annual Christmas light boat parade out on the St. John's River, which usually draws about 100,000 people. So it's a great opportunity to see 70 or 80 boats all decorated with holiday colors and all of that.
Oh, very wow. Cool.
Yeah.
So really, really nice event. Southern Living is pictured as one of the top 10 events, holiday events of the year in the South. So we're pretty proud of that. And then the next day, the game at 11 o'clock. And then at 4 o'clock that afternoon, the Brothers Osborne will be playing a free concert that will go to midnight, and we'll celebrate New Year's Eve with probably the most fantastic fireworks show anybody's ever seen. We spend a considerable amount of money and shoot them off of the bridges in downtown. And then we bring in the new year, and then everybody can get up and go home, and we can go to cleaning up the stadium.
The Brothers Osborne, not to be confused with the Osborne Brothers, who are the authors of Rocky Top, which we do not want to hear play anywhere down
there. They just won a week ago the CMA Duo of the Year Award.
Nice.
So they beat Florida Georgia Line and a couple other duos. So we're pretty excited about them coming in. And well, there's probably seven or eight other groups that will be playing throughout the day.
Well, you mentioned you talked to the Outback Bowl folks about Kentucky's fan base and how it travels. So if you've talked about Kentucky, asked about Kentucky, then you've heard this fan base loves to party. So it's New Year's Eve. What does Jacksonville offer? Does it have like an area where there's a concentrated number of places to hang out at night or restaurant areas? And what are those?
Right in downtown Jacksonville, we have what's called the Jacksonville Landing, which is a Rouse Festival shopping area. And it has bars and restaurants and shops and all that kind of stuff. And then we will actually do the concert. We will close a major artery right outside of the Jacksonville Landing. Uh-huh. And it's actually, the concert will be in the streets. If you were familiar with the Music City Bowl, kind of like their Battle of the Bands, where they close the road next to the riverfront.
Yes.
They have the bandstand, and then it plays out to the public. That's, by the way, free. That concert's free. So that we do that in downtown. There's also a couple of other areas, the beaches. Jacksonville Beach is 10 miles away from downtown, and it's rocking with restaurants and bars and really great opportunities. And then halfway down there is what we call the Town Center, which is one of our largest outdoor shopping areas. For the ladies, it's got every major store from, my wife could probably tell you. it's also a fabulous place that has a lot of food and beverage there. Then, of course, south, we have St. Augustine at Night of Lights, which is one of the biggest that decorates the entire old city in lights, and it's really a beautiful opportunity to go down there. And then in Fernandina, where the Whips Carlton and the Amelia Island Plantation, which is where the ACC team will be staying, it's a unique fishing village. So there's a lot to do.
Yeah.
There. And then if you like to paddleboard and canoe and do all that kind of stuff, obviously we have the salt marshes and everything that you can do in that area.
We're talking with Rick Catlett, who's the president and CEO of the Tax Slayer Bowl in Jacksonville. I want one restaurant recommendation. What is, if we're only going to one restaurant, what is it?
Well, my favorite, I live in Ponte Vedra Beach, but my favorite is Cafe Andiamo, which is an Italian restaurant in Ponte Vedra Beach, which is only about 3 or 4 miles south of the Jacksonville Beach area. If you're going to stay in town, I would recommend Three Forks if you like steak, because Three Forks is as good a steak restaurant I've ever been to. Then Ruth Chris is right downtown, so you've got those restaurants. If you go over to the Avondale area, there are a lot of Jacksonville restaurants that are really neat and an opportunity to, there's a lot of young people that go there and have a really good time.
This sounds like a great place. The stadium itself, Everbank Field, formerly known as Jacksonville Municipal Stadium, debuted in 1995, replaced the old Gator Bowl. It sits on the St. John's River, hosted the Super Bowl, 25,000 square foot sports bar and 20,000 square foot sky patio, and then an entertainment zone that's adjacent to the stadium with a stage for pre and post game entertainment, and seating about 67,000. So it hosts the annual Georgia Florida game. So mm-hmm. it's experienced. It's seasoned.
Well, it's the third. It was voted last year the third most fan friendly stadium in the NFL. And if you want to bring your bathing suit, you can go swim in the pools in the north end zone. it's got a great party deck in the north end zone. The club areas, the terrace suite, the two clubs on either side of the stadium, and Bud Club, which is sponsored by Budweiser, pulls about 4,000 people. That's the sports bar that's in the club. I do want to tell the Kentucky fans one thing. The best tickets, believe it or not, are available through the University of Kentucky. We've sold about 30,000 tickets locally. Each two of the universities get 25,000 club seats. The Bud Club is available. But we give most of the seats of the 8,000 that Kentucky will have. We give most of those seats on the sideline and very, very few seats in the upper deck. So really going to Kentucky. But if you want to go to taxpayerbowl.com, then feel free to do that. But I do want to impress upon the fans that the really best seats are at the university.
Now, you mentioned that your number one choice here at the top was Kentucky. That's who you want out of the SEC is your top candidate. Is your top candidate out of the ACC, is that Georgia Tech? Is that who you'll request?
Well, we own the rights to both Miami and Georgia Tech.
Okay.
And talking with Steve Hogan, who runs the Citrus Bowl and the Russell Athletic Bowl, he would really like to have Miami. So we'll continue to discuss that before the phone calls this afternoon and see where we end up. I would be very pleased with both of those two universities. You know, the wonderful thing about Kentucky and Georgia Tech is they beat their arch enemies on the last game of the year.
Yeah.
And that's always something you look forward to. And, of course, in your case, Kentucky beat the 11th-ranked team in the country and probably beat the Heisman Trophy winner this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say,
He did the pose to remind you that he's going to win it, too.
Yes, he is probably real good at that.
Yeah, you're getting a team that has gotten better throughout the course of the whole season. And they've shown improvement since week three on, and they have been chomping at the bit to get back to a bowl for the first time in 5 years, and they will be ready, and the fans will be ready to go too.
Well, we're ready to host them and make sure that they have a good time. And if you come down to the weekend, if you don't want to have a good time, I think it might be possible not to have a good time. But it would be real hard. It would take some work to do.
Yeah. I think it would take your car breaking down if you drove on the way, or a plane flight being canceled. Because otherwise,
that's right,
it's going to be a great event. So we thank you for making time and coming on and talking to us. And let's hope everything goes the way you would like it to go today. And we look to hear something about 4 o'clock from you guys this afternoon. And thanks again.
I look forward to having you down and hosting you and hosting all the Kentucky fans.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. That was Rick Catlett, the president and CEO of the Tax Slayer Bowl.
Outside, it's not an official announcement,
but that's where Kentucky's going.
Yeah, and outside of the travel, Music City Bowl is 3 hours away. So you can get here in 3 hours. It's real easy. But outside of that, this is the best
situation. You can't beat it.
No,
because it's still drivable.
Yeah.
It's a 10-hour drive
right
from Lexington. That's
and you
still
can do
doable.
That on a Thursday,
That's
or you
doable.
Could do it on a Friday. Either one. You do it on Friday, you're talking about 2 nights in a hotel, or let's say just...
Or three nights.
Or
I mean, sounds fun.
Yeah. And they've got the boats all lit up in Holiday. 70 or 80 boats on the river lit up in Holiday. You don't see that stuff around here.
No.
But they don't do that stuff around
Gigantic
here.
Gigantic fireworks show over the water, New Year's Eve.
And then everywhere around there, it sounds like it has a few areas of, you know, distinction. There's the shopping area for the, what do you say, largest outdoor shopping area around. And then you have, it sounds like the hipster area or the more local area where it's stuff that's not franchise corporate stuff, but
Jacksonville
local
restaurants.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yep.
And then he was talking about another area, the landing, the Jacksonville landing area. And then you have the beach, 10 minutes to the beach.
Yeah.
And then he even said the fishing, when he said fishing village, I'm like, what? Huh? Go fish? We could go fishing. You could do that too. And then the game's at 11 a.m. on New Year's
Eve. Yeah, so it doesn't, I mean.
It sets up beautifully.
It's so perfect. This is so exciting.
We'll talk about it more. Take your calls, 381-1313, when the Dan and Mary Jo Show continues here on
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. You know that I don't play, streets not
safe, but I never run the away. Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Russillo and Canal.
Give me the number of teams you think can win the Super Bowl right now, where if this team won the Super Bowl, it would not be a surprise. I had 5, and it was Dallas, New England, Oakland, Seattle, and Denver. And I guess there's still some part of me that's hesitant to go, am I just sitting here going, Dallas is definitively the best team in the NFL? I don't know. I mean, I think I have to say that.
I went your same 5, and then I had added the New York Giants, and then I had the Kansas City Chiefs.
The NFL and Russillo and Canal.
1-4 on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Now through Sunday at Meijer, save across the store on holiday gifts and more. Plus, save an extra 20% on all apparel, shoes, jewelry, and accessories, including what's already on sale and clearance items.
Shouldn't you have a checking account that makes your life easier? Introducing Easy Checking from Republic Bank. Relax with no minimum balance or monthly maintenance fees. Easily send money through our app with Mobile Pop Money. Log into your account by scanning your finger or eye with your smartphone. And for easy access to your money, you can use 85,000 surcharge-free ATMs worldwide. Easy checking for your hard-earned money. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
I'm in control of my world. My world is the same every day.
Every minute, my world seems to get a little smaller. My world is driving me crazy.
My world? What world? If your world is controlled by alcohol, There is hope.
We're AA. Alcoholics helping other alcoholics get sober for more than 70 years.
You'll find us in the phone book, your local newspaper, or on the web at AA.org. Alcoholics Anonymous.
Now is a great time to volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Volunteering is an opportunity to directly impact lives.
To see a life changed, to have it flourish in front of you. And the mission is a great place to volunteer to see that. You really get to see the results of your input.
And anyone can do it. So no matter how much time you might be able to give, a little or a lot, volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Call us at 381-9600.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
High school football state championships. We started on that path and then veered off of it and taking a little detour. But
yeah,
now,
Jeff Fishered it. Sorry.
We'll come back to it and talk about Trinity and Lafayette last night. This game was a good game until about, I don't know, 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. And then it just exploded all Trinity. But Lafayette was hanging in there, hanging tough. Trinity came out and scored and Lafayette could have gotten out of hand quick because Trinity scored and then Lafayette fumbled, I believe, the ensuing kickoff, but then got it right back on the next play with a strip by Ian Shaw and then went down and scored. And then Trinity wound up getting a 2-touchdown lead and Lafayette twice cut it back to 1 score. And it was like 27-14 at halftime, and then Lafayette came back and cut it to 27-21. But then after that, it was nothing but Trinity. 56-21 wound up being the final. And Spencer Blackburn, the quarterback for Trinity, he outplayed Walker Wood, if you want to say it that way, but I think the team, Trinity as a team, is just a little bit better. But Walker Wood was still played well. He ran for 42 yards. Completed 13 of 17 passes for 181 yards and a touchdown. Spencer Blackburn, 14 of 16, 222 yards, 4 TD passes. He ran for 110 yards and 2 touchdowns. So Trinity wins their 24th state championship. That is the most in the history of Kentucky high school football. Breaks the tie they had with Trinity for all those. But last year, they lost Lafayette. Lost to Male in the state championship game. And so they've been a runner-up. Okay, so they finished runner-up this year. Well, they just leave. Game's over. That team takes off, gets off the field. They don't go over and shake Trinity's hand and congratulate them, or they don't walk up and receive the runner-up trophy. And this wasn't like a heartbreaking situation where you're just devastated
on a last second play or something,
right? Yeah. You realized by the time the fourth quarter started, you pretty much knew you were down 3 touchdowns. How are you going to overcome this? It's
against a team
over.
As good as Trinity.
And so Eric Shaw, the head coach, accepts the runner-up trophy by himself, no team out there, and then just walks off. What do you make of that? What's your reaction to that? Good, bad, indifferent?
Kind of indifferent, I guess. Although I'm, you know, I don't know what the reasoning behind it was. And, you know, you would like to see the team come out there. Being runner up is still a significant accomplishment.
2 years in a row.
2 years in a row. It was a lot of those kids, you know, final football game. And it didn't go the way they had hoped. I know you never go into a game thinking you're not going to win. But, I mean, it's a Trinity team that's just, they're that good. So, like you said, it wasn't a last second, you know, interception or something like that. The game was decided before it was over. And I guess I would have liked to seen the team out there accept their runner-up trophy.
Let me just put it in historical perspective for you. All five of the Fayette County public schools have been to the state finals. Tate's Creek, Henry Clay, and Bryan Station have each been three times and each won once. Dunbar's been once and lost. Now, Lafayette, this was their fourth trip. So now Lafayette has gone more times than any other Fayette County public school and has never won one. So, again, 3, 6, 9 plus the 4, 13 plus the 1 from Dunbar, 14. In 14 times in the history of the high school football state championships, going back to the 50s or whatever, only three times has a Lexington school, public school, won the state title out of, 14 trips.
Yeah, and even 14 trips ain't many.
And so before, we're talking like 1999, I think, was the last time a team went until Lafayette went back-to-back here. And for them, it was the first time since 1985 that Lafayette had gone. So what I'm getting at is, yes, it seems like Lafayette is having a great run right now. And in the moment, yes, we would like to win it. And it's a huge disappointment that you didn't. And you had two tries in a row to do it. But historically, you know, Walker Woods leaving, Jed Wills is leaving, graduating. This team might not be the one that gets back there again next year. So this, it's just a magical moment in time where they've got it all working and going the right way. And it's just a shame that you don't have that team photo on the
team
field. And then because when you get older and you look back, yes, it's you're going to feel disappointed, but you're going to realize that you were outmatched, and most Lexington schools are outmatched by
the
Louisville schools.
Back-to-back years, you made history. You know, it's been a great run for Lafayette. Yeah, it is too bad they don't have the team picture.
And I don't know if it's a statement on today's kids over yesteryear's kids, sportsmanship and all that stuff. But we make a big deal nationally when a LeBron James walks off the court and doesn't, gives Cam Newton, leaves the press cup, you know.
We made a real big deal about Cam Newton.
Yeah. There's that sore loser thing that is a national debate when the big stars do this. But also, KHSAA, after some problems with kids fighting after football games a couple years ago, said, hey, just don't shake hands anymore. That's a situation we can't govern and control. We don't have enough staff and people to be out there and police the handshake at every single game every Friday night. So just don't do it. And there was a little bit of an uproar over that. Hey, don't take the handshake. It's sportsmanship. It's high school. And it's just the world's changing. And so I don't know if you're mad about it, but I'm not mad about it. And I don't look at them like you're sore losers. I think the world's changing, but I just do feel like it's a shame you didn't go out there, and you might regret it a little bit, because in the moment, you see yourself as you lost another state championship, but in the bigger picture,
you got to another state championship.
Yeah,
and
it's a big accomplishment that doesn't happen for the Lexington Public Schools very often.
No.
It's only happened 14 times in 70 years of state championships, whatever.
Couple more chances to make history today. Danville plays. You know, they've Titletown. So I'm really pulling for the ads. They play at 12:30 today.
1:30.
12. Eastern. Yeah, 1:30 Eastern time. And Pulaski County plays the game tonight at 8:00 against Bowling Green. That'll be a tough matchup for them.
Yeah, because they've played four of the last. Well, let's see. This is the fourth year in a row Pulaski's been there, and this will be the third time in the 4 years that Pulaski's played Bowling Green. And Bowling Green's won every one of them.
Yeah.
And Pulaski won a state championship because Graves County upset Bowling Green. And then Pulaski beat Graves County to win it. But something remarkable, Brian Milam, my buddy that I do the high school sports show with on Fox, is that WKYT? He did
shameless plug.
Name dropper. He did. He went down to Pulaski County and talked to those kids and discovered not only the freshman, sophomore, junior, and now senior year have they played in a state championship every single year of their high school football playing career, but they played in the state middle school championship game as 7th and 8th graders. So this is 6 years in a row that their season ends in the state championship, which is, I mean, that's pretty
special. That's a story to tell. That's a story to tell.
No doubt about it. As you said, it starts at 1:30 Eastern time. It's Christian Academy of Louisville, which has never been to the state finals, against Danville, which has won 10 state championships. But, you know, Danville's last trip was 2006, and the last time they won it was 2003. So it's been 13 years.
I was at that game in 03, and it was so cold. I mean, I remember it being so cold.
The cool thing that Danville does, and it's been a while since we've seen it, but they, I mean, they're in the early 2000s. I think they won like three or four right there, like 2000, 2001, 03.
Mm-hmm.
But when they would win it, they would bite the wood on the state championship trophy. And so all their trophies, or several of them going back to the late 80s, have teeth marks in them because they take a bite out of the state championship, which is one of the cooler things. Yeah. Nobody else does that. At 4:45, the game in between Pulaski and Danville's championship game is the 4A class championship. Franklin Simpson is undefeated, 14-0, versus Johnson Central. Now, Johnson Central's been a...
You picked Johnson Central to win, I believe.
I did. I picked... That is the only state championship game that I got exactly right. All of them, I got one that were playing. But the exact matchup, Franklin Simpson, Johnson Central, that's the only one I got right. I did have Cal playing in this state championship game, but I had LCA beating Danville, not Danville beating LCA. So I got that wrong. And then I did have Bowling Green in the 5A, but I had Southwestern winning the game against Pulaski, and Pulaski won. That was the case in all of them, is I got one right, and the team I got wrong lost to the team that made it there.
Yeah.
So I just picked the wrong winner there. Anyway, Johnson Central, you always think of them as just a state powerhouse, right?
Yeah.
I just always think of them. Well, they hadn't made it to the state championship game until last season. That was the first time they got there, and they lost to South Warren. And so now they're back again. Franklin Simpson won back-to-back state championships in 1970 and 80 with their star player, one Joker Phillips. And now Joker Phillips' nephew, his sister's son, Josiah Roby, stars for the team, and Joker said he's going to be there to see it today. He's going to be at the game. Joker said, wouldn't miss it. This kid's been like a son to him. And this kid said he has been following Joker and looking up to Joker everywhere he's gone. And now here they are back, and he's a star. Like, he's over 1,000 yards rushing, over 500 receiving, 5 interceptions. So it's a special game for Franklin Simpson and the whole Joker crew. And then finally, at 8 o'clock Eastern time, is Bowling Green, Pulaski County. And as we mentioned, 4 straight trip for Pulaski. But Bowling Green, they won it in 2011, 12, 13, 15. They look unstoppable again. So likely going to see Bowling Green there. But I paid the $10 to watch the Trinity Lafayette game yesterday. And so it gets me all 3 of these games.
Yep.
So I'll put it on the laptop and put NFL on the TV and kick back.
NFL's kind of done for me. My fantasy's over with.
Really?
And the Vikings just are just a bitter disappointment after such a hot start. So I'm kind of...
We're 5 minutes overdue for a break, but I want to get into the NFL thing just a little bit.
Okay.
All right, we'll do it next on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
It's a day unlike any other. The little hairs on the back of your neck stand straight. Your breathing, your heart rate are elevated. It is game day.
Bengals football.
Dalton takes a waist-high snap, throws it into the end zone.
Oh, Eifert, baby.
Touchdown!
Baby.
Tyler Eifert with a red zone touchdown.
This afternoon, the Bengals take on Philadelphia. Broadcast time on Classic Rock 92.1, 11:30.
Bengals football, presented by Paul Miller Ford. And also brought to you by MLS Power Sports, the Magic Vapor Shop, the Boot Store, Truck and Auto Extras, Banks Floor Covering, Barkley Blevins Plumbing, Heating and Air, Danville Foreign Cars and Recreation, and Linex of Kentucky. Bengals football on Classic Rock 92.1.
You can trust your car to Fleet Dog.
At Fleet Dog, we break for breast cancer. It's time to stop procrastinating and schedule your mammogram. That's why Fleet Dog supports the St. Joseph Hospital Foundation's Yes Ma'am program. Fleet Dog, with the help of Advanced Auto Parts, is donating $50 from every brake job now through the end of the year to the Yes Ma'am program, providing life-saving screening, patient navigation, treatment support, and programs for reduced or low cost. We want you to break for breast cancer, too. Visit Fleet Dog at 1031 Contract Street, and you could help save a life.
You can trust your car to Fleet Doc.
Most families and businesses have a fleet of vehicles, and everyone needs a vehicle doctor they can trust. At Fleet Doc, we are a trusted vehicle doctor. From oil changes to complete engine replacements, Fleet Doc does it all. And at fleet prices, see them for all your service needs, and tire inspections are always free on Contract Street near Greens Toyota or at fleet-doc.com.
Fleet Doc's got the cure that your car needs.
It's basketball season. It's football season. It's the cellar season. Happy hour, Monday through Friday, 4 to 7. Game day specials, all NCAA football and basketball, and all NFL games on our beautiful big screen TV. Incredible food in the most beautiful sports bar anywhere. It's the cellar on Lansdowne Drive, right next to the Signature Club. For more info, call 859-317-8301.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter.
A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
ESPN Sports Radio 13. The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You mentioned you were done with the NFL. And this goes back to a conversation we had, Mary Jo, early in the season. And you said, what do you think it is why the ratings are falling in the NFL? Because the ratings were dropping, especially early.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, when you asked me that, I had just heard a national sports talk show discussing that very topic. And I heard like three or four callers in a row attribute it to Colin Kaepernick. I don't buy that. I do not believe that. I at that time, I was convinced. I just heard it. I was fresh off of hearing it. But that's not it. I think part of it is it becomes so tiresome with the penalties and the reviews and all this stuff. You're like, it's not the same game that you remember.
I also think you can tune in to, first of all, virtually every Thursday night game, except for this last one, which was the Cowboys and Vikings, is abysmal.
Yes, a stinker.
So that's the way we kick off the NFL weekend. It's always a stupid game. I feel like at least half the games, what you're watching is a quarterback throw a 3-yard out over and over and over again. When you tune in to see the best athletes in the world at their sport, you want to see, I don't want to see what I'm seeing from the quarterback, like Alex Smith and Sam Bradford, and mostly Sam Bradford, but also Alex Smith.
Has there been a decrease in drama, too? It feels like the 1 o'clock games, like at 4 o'clock, it doesn't feel like there's four or five games every Sunday that are about to be decided and you're flipping all over the place.
Right.
It's not happening as much, right?
No, I don't feel like it.
No. Now, my Bears are the worst.
I mean, Matt Barkley.
they are a grease fire. I mean, they are just, they're going down in flames. You had Hall of Famer Dan Hampton come out and say, this is bad. I don't like it. And you know, the thing that John Fox needs to understand is you're just passing through, bro. I'm a Bears fan for life. I'm going to be here. I've been here. So get it through your head what this means to us, and it better mean something to you. Now, they've been decimated by injuries, but...
They have been.
Jay Cutler is the worst. It's time for him. Matt Barkley's not the answer.
Oh, no.
Poor Danny Trevathan got traded away from a great team to a team that is just...
And then he's hurt.
Yeah,
you know,
he's hurt. So, it's just bad. So saying that, you would think I'm done with the NFL the way you said you're done. Your Vikings, they had a chance to really show out against Dallas, lose a heartbreaker there. Doesn't look as good for them. Detroit has taken over the lead in the division. So I can understand that.
It's over.
But I think the games are getting better now. And some of these matchups, I like it a little better. You look at today, the games today, just the ones that we have on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Texans-Packers, I mean, that's okay. Giants-Steelers at 4 o'clock.
That's a pretty decent
game. I like that game. Panthers at Seahawks tonight. I like that game. Yeah. Those are a couple that I'll be interested in.
Oakland's been a fun team to watch.
Yeah. That Cowboys-Vikings game, I was actually excited to turn that on and watch that game, and I watched the whole thing. The Denver Kansas City game Sunday night previously, I'm telling you what, that was one of the funnest games I've seen on the NFL all season because of the physicality of it. Those two games.
And it went into overtime, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they were just punching each other in the mouth. They were coming at it so hard. And it wasn't illegal hits. It was just a physical game of football, the way football, you know, is played. So that was fun to watch. So I'm starting to feel it a little bit more as it winds down into the playoffs. And you've whittled away the pretenders, and you got the contenders out there. I'm starting to tune in more.
I will say, over the course of the last couple of years, and if I could pick only one team that I root for or follow to ever win, it would be the Vikings. They're just my favorite team of all time ever. But college football has so replaced.
Oh, yeah, for me too.
That's, and I know they don't go head-to-head ratings-wise, but I do think that is a contributing factor into why I think if people are deciding, listen, I can only pick one day on my weekend to totally do nothing but sit in front of the TV.
Right.
I'm going to do it on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I'm going to watch college football versus the NFL on Sunday. And I think it used to be people used to think Sunday's my day. I'm not leaving the TV. I would rather watch college football games that don't have a meaning to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Oh, I would for sure. Give me a college game over an NFL game. Anytime. And if I have to choose, I'm choosing Saturday.
Yes, yeah.
But a lot of times you'll see, if you pay attention to my Twitter feed at all.
You don't choose.
If
you go both days.
Well, if UK's playing and I'm not tweeting, it's because I'm DVRing the game and I'm out doing something with the kids or something like that. And so I'm radio silence. I made it through all the way to 4 o'clock without knowing anything about the Kentucky UCLA game. Not a single thing. Yeah. So sat down to watch it at 4, recorded the SEC championship game, and then caught up to real time by halftime of that game. But on Sunday, you still got stuff to do too. You can get it to the 4 o'clock games. And then it always stinks that there's only like 3 4 o'clock games. And if they're all stinkers, then...
Yeah.
Wah, wah.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. I forgot. Al has been on the line. Al, we'll get to you, I promise, right after this on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The following commercial contains a bunch of super secret information.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, the following commercial is all wink, wink, hush, hush.
Stick to the script.
that?
At the Botany Bay, we have things. So many things. You like tie-dyes? We got them. We got rolling papers, disc golf supplies, incense, e-cigs, glassware, vapes and pipes, flow toys, and other things. Hey, 420 is a cool number, isn't it? The Botany Bay, we're just like 420. We're the coolest place in town. We have staff. They are friendly. We have stuff, you know? You want to be cool, too? Shop here and you will be. The Botany Bay. 420 East New Circle Road next to Pizza Hut in Lexington. We're the place to buy things to do stuff with.
Steel Outdoor Power Equipment. The premium brand that's affordably priced. Plus, for a limited time, save $60 on the popular MS-250 chainsaw. Now just $299.95. Plus, get a free Woodsman carrying case with the purchase of select steel chainsaws. Stop by Moses's in Georgetown for more details. Find Moses's at steeldealers.com. Start easier, work smarter, and finish faster with steel. Offer valid through December 31st at Moses's, 511 North Broadway in Georgetown while supplies last. All prices BES SRP.
Here's what another satisfied customer, and from Lexington, has to say about Barkley Blevins.
They treat me like family. I've watched John grow up over the 30-plus years they've worked with me. They've replaced water heaters, sump pumps, sewer pipes, furnaces, air conditioners, toilets, and faucets. They've done it all. And I like when the technician sits and chats with me at the kitchen table while filling out the ticket. There's no one else I would trust, and you should trust them too.
Barkley Blevins Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. Check them out at barkleyblevins.com.
Do you avoid laughing aloud, smiling, even eating in public because your denture may slip or a space left by missing teeth may show? If so, visit Dr. Claire to see if dental implants are right for you and get back to eating and speaking with comfort and confidence again.
Hi, I'm Dr. Susan Claire. When it comes to your dental health, there's an old saying, good dentistry isn't expensive, lack of good dentistry is. Let me show you how to smile with confidence again.
For all your dental needs, visit Dr. Claire at 145 Walton Avenue, Lexington.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
A little lowrider?
Yeah.
You going a little lowrider? All right. Let's get to Al. Al has been waiting patiently. Thank you, Al. Good morning. Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing?
Good, Al.
The statistic reason why the NFL is down is because Brady suffered a four-game suspension. It has nothing to do with Kaepernick. It has nothing to do with nothing but Brady. And that's the reason the NFL is down. If you believe that, you believe Kentucky won yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say.
Yeah, because it was maybe more intriguing how they were winning without Brady and all the quarterbacks they ran through there.
I know, question. Let me ask you if you can give me a definition of what the rule is as to why kids coming out of high school have to stay 1 year before going to the NBA.
It's the collective bargaining agreement with the NBA. The NBA is saying it's their mandate. You can't come here without being 1 year removed from high school. And I don't care if you go do it in college. I don't care if you go do it overseas. I don't care what you do, but you're not coming here straight out of high school. That's our rule for now. And because there's so many other more important things to the current NBA players than that, it gets lost in the collective bargaining agreement negotiations. They're negotiating bigger things.
And because now they're already in the NBA, so now they don't really care what about...
Right. And so if it's a issue that the Players Association pushes, but the NBA does not want to agree to letting up on and letting them come into the pro straight out of high school, it gets knocked down so far on the list. We go, okay, we'll concede to this if you concede to that. And they're doing it on issues that are more important to them. So that one gets lost in the shuffle, and it doesn't. It's a fight that the Players Association doesn't win because they have bigger fights, and it continues that way. At least that's the way I understand it from what I've read and watched about it.
So the three kids that led Kentucky into statistics of scoring and rebound, Bam, Fox, and Monk. Are those kids, were those kids projected? Could they went straight out of high school and went to the pro?
I think so for sure. Yeah.
Those
things come out like some of next year's kids are already projected first rounders and they're still in high school.
Okay. So in essence, if it wasn't for the NBA rule that John Calipari is losing games with NBA rookies, because if it wasn't for the rule, those kids would be NBA rookies on somebody's roster this year. Is that correct?
Yeah, but that would be the same for every school. Duke's three freshmen would have been in, you know.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm just saying that those kids potentially could be NBA rookies if it wasn't for the rule that Dan just explained to me that existed.
Correct.
Those kids, in essence, would be on the NBA roster as NBA rookies. So is it to say, are we saying that the kids that's leading are the one-and-done kids, or the other sophomores and juniors that's in college are better than those kids? Or is it a veteran lineup that can beat the so-called one-and-done kids?
Well, I think it's a mix of both that probably is best. And John Calipari has said it over and over, is his best teams are the ones that have some guys that have been here at least a year already. And it's even better when he's got some guys who have been here 2 or 3 years to mix with the freshmen. But see, he's now decided that 4 freshmen is his best lineup so far. And that could change. Derek Willis started the second half over Wynyan Gabriel, so it gave him a senior in the lineup with a sophomore, Isaiah Briscoe. But no, I don't think if kids went straight to the NBA out of high school that the game of college basketball would be better. You would have less talented kids staying longer and developing into players that may be pretty good, maybe pretty special, but still aren't as talented as the kids that were coming straight out of high school. You know what I mean? Would the game be better? I don't know. I would rather just see that if they're going to come to college, I would prefer it be 2 years before they're allowed to go. I think that would make the college game way better if it could do that. And if you don't do that, then I would prefer the one and done over letting them go straight out of high school.
And I don't think it would be a ton of straight out of high school, because when that was the rule, it wasn't like there were 25 kids straight out of high school being drafted in the first round.
Well, and part of it was so many of them were getting bad information and not getting drafted at all, and then not winding up in college because they had already messed up their college eligibility by being in the NBA draft and hiring an agent. And the next thing you know, they don't have a career. They're trying to find a spot. Where do I go? What do I do now? A lot of bad decisions were being made because there's so many people trying to put a hand in their pocket and take a piece of their success and ride their coattails. But Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Kevin Garnett, Kevin Durant. No, Kevin Durant played a year in college.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, Kobe, those guys jumped. So it's not a ton when it was allowed. It's not a ton that have great success.
Right. You know, one other quick observation. I think Kentucky done a great job of playing comeback basketball with a minute 24 left. That's going to help them moving forward. They probably won't ever play a team that, when the ball winds up on the wrist of all the players, seemingly with UCLA, could shoot. They had nice rhythm to their shot. They have 5 players that could do that. They won't play that type of team again. And the one thing I thought that Coach Cal probably done was left Monk on the bench too long in the segment of the game where we needed him when we were down by 10.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if Monk, when you're down by 12 or 10, the dribble drive, you almost have to look to dribble drive and kick to the perimeter for the 3-point shot to get you back in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he's going to have to look at that strategy moving forward, because when you're down, you got to kick to your perimeter and just tell those guys to go with the wasp. The wasp is when you spread the perimeter and you look for 3-point shots like UCLA done. Like the Golden State Warriors do,
right?
That you gotta go with the perimeter game to get you back in the game.
All right, thanks, Al. We gotta go. We gotta get Jack on the line here. Thank you, Al. Jack, good morning. Welcome to the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
Good morning. I just want to give you 2 scenarios here. One is my case for Ohio State not being in the playoffs, and another case why they are. Why they should not be. Last year, the committee punished the Big 12 for not having a conference championship game. Ohio State not only didn't win the conference, they didn't even play in the conference championship game.
That's the exact thing I told Dan yesterday.
Yeah.
That's absurd. Now, here's why I think they are. And actually, I think number 2 is absurd. being ranked that high. I think it comes down to the last week or last 2 weeks of these selections, the committee selections. They want eye candy. It's on New Year's Eve. That's why Ohio State is in the playoff, because they want their viewing audience on New Year's Eve, as many people, to turn on that remote.
Look, I'll tell you too. What they're going to say is they have two wins over top 10 teams on the road in the best conference in the country, and they beat Michigan, who they're going to have at number 5.
Yeah,
and I don't think they beat Michigan. I've run that play back over and over and over. That ball was almost a foot short.
Yeah,
but I just can't understand their rationale for this. Penn State beat them, and Penn State won the conference title.
I tend to lean your way, Jack. It's hard for me to keep Ohio State out because of what they did do this season, but it's hard to keep Penn State out.
Yeah.
Well, the argument always is that Penn State has two losses, Ohio State has one.
And the other rationale, if Penn State does deserve to be there, but how do you bump Washington?
Right. That's the other thing. You can't, because they won convincingly.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Jack, we got to go. We're running out of time. Thank you. Yep. We have NFL football on all day here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Texans, Packers, the first game, then Giants, Steelers at 4, 8 o'clock, Panthers, Seahawks. At 4 o'clock, look for the official announcement.
Tax Slayer Bowl just tweeted 4 minutes ago that the announcement could come earlier than expected.
Could come earlier than expected. President and CEO of the Tax Slayer Bowl, Rick Catlett, told us earlier that Kentucky is their number one choice.
Yep.
And they have the rights to Georgia Tech and Miami. They could have either one they want, but the Russell Athletic Bowl told them they would prefer to have Miami. And so he's like, okay, we'll take Georgia Tech. That's fine. Yeah. That'll work out fine with us. So it looks like it will be.
Yep.
Kentucky, Georgia Tech. And the announcement could come earlier than 4 o'clock. And he said the best tickets, the ones that are on the sideline, not the ones in the end zone, but the ones on the sideline, are through UK, that they gave the best tickets to UK, and that's the way to go instead of actually going on their website and getting them from the Tax Slayer Bowl. But we'll find out today.
Yep, let's do it.
All right. Thanks for joining us this weekend, and have a great week on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You know you love the Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
Good Lord, texter writes, I don't give a...